This week on the PhD Cast, we're in the Hunter Valley for the second annual Agency Symposium. The great and good of agency and media land have gathered to discuss and debate the big topics of the future and the present of the media industry. This is the PhD Cast from PhD Australia. Hey, I'm Chris Stevenson. Joining me on the PhD Cast this week, I've got special guests Marcus Lewis.
Hello.
Angela Bathley.
Hello.
Tara Rayner.
Hi there.
And Kate Madden.
Hello.
And we've been the delegates from PhD at the second annual Agency Symposium event in the Hunter Valley. How did it go, guys? We all have fun?
Yeah, it was a great awesome. 36 hours, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit longer.
A whistle stop, sessions, debates, panel sessions. We're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so just digesting and discussing some of our highlights and also what we're taking away from this and what we learned from the event and from the sessions. Angela, let's start with you because you're the regular here. What were some of the highlights for you from the symposium of the last 2 days?
I think there were quite a few. It's quite difficult to put your finger on one particular one, but I loved some of the presentations. I loved the guy from Spotify, who reminded me a little bit about the film High Fidelity, which is all about how it's not about what you are like; it's about what you like. And Spotify very much is about that. It kind of defines who you are by your musical taste. And he was talking about the insight they have into people via the choices they make with their music. I loved that. I loved the Guardian presentation, which was really interesting. And what really became apparent for me throughout the whole thing was, again, kind of quoting from something I like, which was a Woody Allen quote, which is, agencies are a bit like relationships and sharks, and they have to keep moving or else they'll die, and nobody wants to be a dead shark. So I think what was really apparent, you know, and there was a mixture in the room of CEOs from media agencies, CEOs from creative agencies, lots of publishers and networks, but we all understand that we desperately need to change the way we do things, because we will, if we don't, we will go down the route of the music industry, which is essentially screwed, and if we don't want another kind of Napster happening within the advertising agency, the advertising world, so we need to make sure that we don't go down that route.
And so big themes of disintermediation, of transformation, of disruption, essentially, and an exploring and really hearing from some of the platforms that are thriving in that context and invented in that context rather than being disrupted by it.
Exactly.
And Tara, for you, what were some of your highlights from the last 2 days?
There was so much to enjoy because it was a really thorough and well-encompassed symposium, but some of the things that were really fantastic for me were probably talking about the evolving agency business model and just talking about how we're moving to value-based or time-based remuneration. I thought that was fascinating, just hearing all the different themes in the rooms and the way to kind of work together better to get better outcomes for agencies and clients. I thought that was fantastic. There was also a lot of talk in a couple of presentations about VUCA, which was basically around volatility, uncertainty, complexity and ambiguity, and these are one of the things that we have to navigate in the future to survive. Obviously, the futurist was fantastic because media is always based about the future because, let's face it, technology drives it. So it was really interesting just hearing the themes there of AI, understanding cloud vision, which is going to take over TV.
And that's cloud vision as opposed to television.
Television.
And idea
so convergence. Yeah. So, you know, there's always been this unbundling and now it's rebundling. It seems to be a theme that happens over decades, not just over 5 years. So it's interesting just to see that modern take on that. And then also just really understanding that our USP as an agency, it's not really about being robotic and being a computer. It's about, you know, our creativity, our storytelling, and those kind of things, our imagination that differentiates us from the pack, and we shouldn't forget that.
Amazing. Awesome. And Kate, what about you? Your perhaps more of a unique experience for you at an event like this. What was your experience? What was your take out?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from a finance perspective on this, so it was really interesting to hear from all the other agencies about, you know, the agency pricing models, value versus time. So, you know, we're all stuck in kind of a time-based system at the moment. Perhaps we could, you know, move to a hybrid, like it's not one or the other, and that we need to be focusing on solving business problems, and only then we can be kind of rewarded for the value that we're actually adding to businesses.
and just not get bogged down in the media. So that was really interesting. I guess the other themes were, you know, obviously it was really interesting that the pitch process panel was, you know, really interesting. We're all facing the same challenges. And maybe we are all too focused on the RFP and the document and the tools, the processes, and we're missing something there.
Yeah, I thought that was a... That was a really interesting session, not because I was lucky enough to moderate it, but yeah. I know.
And there's no denying there is a process to pitch and you have to follow it,
but there was a sheer optimism. There was such a sheer optimism to those guys about pitching.
There's collaboration as well, I found very interesting.
And in terms of the technology theme, the other thing that I thought was really interesting was that we as an industry should be looking for talent outside our industry to bring things in so we can keep ahead of this technology boom. Otherwise, you know, we just can't look to develop all that talent within the industry. We're going to be missing things if we don't look outside our own industry.
And Marcus, what about you? Because data analytics is your specialty. A wealth of conversation and discussion around, of course, big data, around platforms, around what we can do to get better stuff out of data. What were some of the highlights for you from the last 2 days?
Well, I think the first highlight is the continued employability of data scientists in the brave new world of media. Okay, that was a theme that came across through most of the presentations.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop indeed. Yep, nice. And I think, big data has been at every conference I've been at in Australia for the last 3 years. But I think it was interesting to have more or less every breakout session that was outside of the agency remit really was about our technology and how that's developing. And there's a lot of choice out there. It's probably the hardest decision people have to make is what to go with, essentially. And there's a lot of debate around using one stack versus multiple platforms to deliver data solutions. And the intelligent use of data as well, intelligent use of big data, make sure, an ethical use, I suppose, in a way that we communicate so we don't overly annoy the general population. And then probably the second thing that really came out was just the need for innovation, which would be an interesting problem for the way that agencies are set up. How do we invest in the innovation we're going to need to stay ahead of the game, essentially, when the cost of that outweighs the income. I mean, at the moment, 2% of mobile budgets versus 80% usage. So it's going to be a very interesting way forward there.
And just for my part, to answer my own question, I mean, I had a revelation over what a company called Decoded does. Rich Peters, a former PhD from London, setting up a company which just... deconstructs code, what it is, what it does, how it works, and I was lucky enough to jump into a workshop they did yesterday, and it was just amazing. It's kind of the analogy that I used. It was like before you go through that course, before you have that session, it's like trying to talking to coders or developers is like talking to an architect when you've never been inside a house. And how can you talk to them about rooms? How can you talk to them about functionality? How can you talk to them about what you need to build when you've never seen the inside of a house? And for these guys to open up the house and let you in so that when you do talk to an architect, you can talk about, right, I need an inside outside space to do that. Don't use that material. I'd like if it looked like this, and this is why. Just the conversations it equips you to have with the people we're increasingly dealing with as an agency, I thought was just phenomenal and a brilliant addition and a contribution to the lineup.
And in a kind of counterintuitive way, by them democratizing that and making it more accessible, it's not like they're undervaluing it. They're actually bringing more people to the party because they're making it less scary world. And I had lots of conversations with people last night who were going, this is my now retirement plan. I'm going to develop the new Angry Birds app because now I know how these guys do it.
Because I feel like I can.
Yeah.
And an honorary mention as well, also in terms of highlights, to the after dinner speaker last night, who was entrepreneur and magician and just all around inspirational, brilliant speaker person who was at... brilliant. The name of which escapes me, but absolutely brilliant, brilliant. Zim. Amazing. So
it was a hard room as well. I think it was a room full of very quite cynical old geezers and birds like me who were probably a little bit cynical. But he won every single person over, and I've never seen and heard so much post-dinner chit-chat after seeing an after-dinner speaker. Mm. Unless somebody like bloody Steve Jobs was in the room. It was comparable to that. And everybody was just really impressed. And I was desperate to go to the bathroom for an hour, and I couldn't leave my seat. That's how good he was.
Rarely have you paid a higher compliment.
I actually said that to him as well. He was like, oh, I'm glad to hear you say that. TMI, kids, but, you know.
And so thinking about what we're taking away from this and what we're taking away from everything we've seen and heard and debated for the last 2 days, what are some of the key takeouts? What are some of the key things that we'll be looking to use and develop or think about?
Collaboration, I think, is the big word of the session for me, and how it's not a dirty word. You know, we all seem to be in, and the perception is that we're all in competition with each other, and you know, we work in quite a rat racy industry where it's hugely competitive, but I think we need to avail more and leverage relationships better, and not work in silos. And this goes just not just across companies, but within our own companies and organisations. I think that would be my key takeout. It's not a new one, but it's one that I really...
Yeah.
Every one of these sessions that I go to drives that point home.
And I think maybe something around continue to look forward. We all really have to be futurists. That's what our industry is based upon. And I think the futurists today talked a lot about the runway that we have. Given that we have that runway, we do have to predict change and meet the road before it meets us. So I think that's a really important thing we need to do.
For all of the stuff around innovation and data and stuff like that, there are some really... back to basic stuff that came out around just obviously the need for change and just valuing what we do, and I think there were some really good conversations around that as well. Certainly I really like the idea of the rated system for the team that you put forward as in terms of pitches and stuff like that. You know, make sure that you actually give options to clients about what they want, tailor it to their requirements, more conversations around that rather than just basically going in with this is what we want to do. It was good.
And Kate, what about you?
From my perspective, I mean, the approach to talent, how we get talent in the agency, we've got to rethink it. That was a big factor. And obviously more flexibility and creativity in partnering with clients, our pricing models, who we're working with those clients. Like, I think it came up a lot that we aren't dealing with the CEOs of those companies enough to know what their business problems are. So we're just dealing with the head of marketing. They don't always have the same problems as the CEO does, or they're not aligned to the business problems. They're kind of, motivated by their own KPIs. So I think that was the key things for me.
That really came through in the value pricing conversation, whereby there was a panel of people, all of whom agreed that we should be moving more in the direction of value pricing and being aware of our USPs and making sure that we're positioning ourselves and pricing what we sell accordingly. But he was the one kind of person who... what he said really rang true, because he had been a client, and he was saying, it's all very well for us to talk about value pricing.
It was John Bradshaw.
John Bradshaw, yeah. And moving away from time-based remuneration. He says, but from a client's point of view, unless you have an understanding of where they're coming from and the challenges that they have, their P&L, you know, they can't pay you more if there ain't no money in the coffers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And agencies have to be more mindful of the client perspective, which I thought was quite insightful. And, and he was, was the one sole voice on that panel that kind of voiced it from the client perspective.
And there was also treating remuneration like a super fund, so stable, low risk, and then high risk. So I think that was an interesting concept for us to adopt as well.
Yeah, we have to be flexible, right? Mm. It's a hybrid model, not one one model fits everyone, right? Yeah. And... so flexibility, knowing the client business problem, dealing with the right people at the client, and that's right, if the client doesn't have any more money to pay you, then you're wasting your time kind of going down that route with them, right? So, and our value proposition was a huge theme. What is our value proposition? If you're going to go to value-based time, you have to know what the value is. What's the value? Yeah. You have to define it.
I think we all need to be better at knowing our value and creating and being able to articulate what our USP as people and as organisations.
That's even better metrics for understanding your contribution beyond just the pure ones. You've got to understand the whole arena.
Yeah, and I think for me, definitely, I think Angela, absolutely right, the themes of collaboration and finding new ways to collaborate with people who are traditionally in our industry, but also people who aren't traditionally in our industry. Yeah. How do we collaborate with people beyond the industry? Because it's not necessarily bringing new skills into the P&L, but it's bringing new skills into the building by how we might share time or share resource or however that might be. So the reason we used to collaborate was absolutely was fundamental to me, and that was just this idea of reinvention and continually just thinking about what new things we can do. We have
constantly reinventing ourselves.
Yeah, we have got to be like Madonna.
It's Darwinian.
Madonna is Darwinian.
Yeah.
like Galapagos turtles and Madonna are the greatest examples of Darwinian evolution.
I also thought when we're talking about all this automation, which is something that slightly scares me, and I know I shouldn't say that out loud, but
you're very allowed to say that out loud.
I thought it was really refreshing for the futurists at the end to say, you know, machines are for answers, humans are for questions. There's never not going to be a role for humans. Mm. And we're much better at kind of thinking of, you know, strategizing and thinking of the right questions to ask. We may not have all the answers, but it's not our job to have the answers anymore because they do it better than us.
And that presumably is the whole point, and that's the secret to unlocking big data. Big data was never about the data. It was about the questions that you can apply to it and ask of it.
Absolutely. I think there was another speaker yesterday and he was talking about continuing to question everything, like the why, the how, the what. And as long as you're continually curious, you unlock new opportunities and avenues all the time. So I think that's really important.
And just final thoughts before we wrap up on any final things that you personally, individually have gotten out of the session symposium. I for one have just been delighted by what feels like just the sheer optimism of the last day or so. Yeah, it's challenging. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, there are lots of questions to which we don't know the answer. But boy, if we're stuck on a ship that we've got to rebuild whilst we're out at sea, which is essentially what we're all in, I can't think of a better bunch of people that I'd rather be stuck on a boat with while we're trying to rebuild it. It really is an industry full of very passionate, engaged, interested and interesting people.
I don't think we can better that, Craig. I think you just stopped us. That was beautifully articulated.
So a big thanks to you guys for joining me. We were in Hunter Valley. We're heading back to Sydney now after a spot of lunch. Just speech to your guest. A big thank you to Marcus.
You're welcome.
And Angela.
Thank you.
And Tara.
Pleasure.
And Kate.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening. And remember, don't think about the answers. Think about the questions. Cheers, everyone.
3PhD Australia. You can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, or find us on Google Plus at PhD Australia.